Joe has been partnering with us in the Outreaches Overflow team. She's one of our assistant leaders, and I've really, really enjoyed getting to know Joe a little more. She's actually joined our small group as well, so that's exciting. Just getting to experience her incredible heart for God and for other people. She's just one of those people who's always leaning in, always listening, always encouraging. And I think we're in for a treat today, as this is probably your first sermon. Am I right, Joe? Maybe you've done things at other places, but I'm thinking possibly your first sermon and having to do it on a Zoom setting is not necessarily an easy thing, but I'm really excited because I know God speaks to Jo. I know she listens, and I know that she will have been really prayerful as she's prepared the message for us today. So thank you for who you are, for your heart. We love you. We're excited to hear what God's put on your heart for us today. Let's do something to welcome Jo.
Thank you very much, Chris. That was beautiful. Something I really appreciate about our church is just the intentionality with which you and the leadership team raises up other people and encourages them. So thank you for that. Good morning. This is my first time preaching in an official capacity. I've spoken at youth before, but it's a bit different talking to teenagers than it is talking to adults. So it's super exciting and super humbling to get to share with you this morning. This term, as you know, we're becoming more others focused, and we're going to continue the journey through John, looking at the path of Jesus. So far we've looked at John 1, where Jesus became secure in his identity as God's son, and John 2, where Jesus went out of his way to care about the little things that matter to people, turning water into wine at the wedding. So today we're going to be exploring John 4, where Jesus practiced intentionally listening to God to hear and share life-giving words of encouragement and prophecy. There's so much I'd like to say about this passage, but I only have a little bit of time. So please go and explore a bit more. In particular, it's really interesting the way that it's written with reference to the history of Samaria and to the history of Jacob's family, which is just some interesting parallels about changes and turnarounds in people's life from an encounter with God, which is what this passage is all about. So I really encourage you to look further into that. But first, I've just asked Zach to read the passage for us, and it's from the Passion Translation. Thanks, Zach.
No problem. Okay, so John chapter 4. The news quickly reached the Jewish religious leaders, known as the Pharisees, that Jesus was drawing greater crowds of followers coming to be baptized than John, although Jesus himself didn't baptize, but only his disciples. Jesus heard what was being said and abruptly left Judea and returned to the province of Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Wearied by his long journey, he sat at the edge of Jacob's well and sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." She replied, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink and I would give you living water." The woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket and the well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock?" Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never be thirsty again. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with endless life." The woman replied, "Let me drink that water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw water." Jesus said, "Go get your husband and bring him back here." but I'm not married," the woman answered. "That's true," Jesus said, "for you've been married 5 times, and now you're living with a man who's not your husband. You have told the truth." The woman changed the subject. "You must be a prophet. So tell me this, why do our fathers worship God on this nearby mountain, but your people teach that Jerusalem is the place where you must worship? Who is right?" Jesus responded, "Believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you will worship the Father neither on a mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart. Your people don't really know the one they worship, but we Jews worship out of our experience, for it's from the Jews that salvation is available. From now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshippers who adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "This is all so confusing, but I know that the anointed one is coming, the true Messiah, and when he comes, he will tell us everything we need to know." Jesus said to her, "You don't have to wait any longer. The anointed one is here speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for." At that moment, his disciples returned and were stunned to see Jesus speaking with the Samaritan woman, yet none of them dared to ask why or what they were discussing. All at once, the woman left her water jar and ran off to her village and told everyone, "Come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the one we're waiting for." Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to go see Jesus. Then the disciples began to insist that Jesus eat some of the food they brought back with them, saying, "Teacher, you must eat something." But Jesus told them, "I have eaten a meal you don't know about." Puzzled by this, the disciples began to discuss it among themselves. "Did someone already bring him food?" To clarify, Jesus spoke up and said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and bring it to completion." As the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time. Their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a harvest. Everyone who ripens these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. But those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the spiritual harvest will celebrate together with great joy." And this confirms the saying, "One sows the seed and another reaps the harvest. I have sent you out to harvest a field that you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you, and now you're privileged to profit from their labors and reap the harvest."
Thank you so much, Zach. I know that's a bit of a longer one, but there's just so much good stuff in there. And to kick us off this morning, we're going to go into a breakout. So we're just going to take a few minutes and I'd like you to discuss what we learn from this passage about conversing with God. Everybody back now. I'm just going to open it up and just ask if anyone wanted to share just a sentence or a couple of words about what they learnt from that passage about conversing with God. So just feel free to jump in.
We were talking about that it's not about your physical location where you worship God, but it's really inside your heart. What is the purpose in your heart? And that's where true worship starts. Yeah. Not by your actual physical location.
Yeah, absolutely. Church being a heart posture. Thank you so much.
We were talking about just being natural, just being able to speak to God about everything.
Yeah, I love it, Di. Being vulnerable with God's good.
Yeah, so just following on from that thought, you know, it's like Jesus asked, there was two questions in there, one from the woman about water and then one from his disciples about food. They're both practical needs, but he quickly went on to way more important issues but using those two very relevant topics to explain who he was and what his purpose was and ours as well.
Yeah, he uses a really interesting mix of the natural and the supernatural, doesn't he, to just convey his message, which I think is part of his invitation to relationship, isn't it, to get that conversation started with us. That's really good, Sam. Anyone else? We might just have one or two more.
Yeah, it's Mark. I just agree with everyone else. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, you can just talk to God anytime. Like I do it on my motorbike, riding along on my motorbike, and I'm having a bit of a chat with God, you know, just talking about his creation and how wonderful everything he's made. So it's not about where you are, it's about your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And I love that you're having that conversation with him, doing your everyday stuff. I'm sure he loves spending that time with you. That's so good. All right. Well, I might just wrap that up with some thoughts that I wanted to share with you as well. So first of all, God is always wanting to talk. Jesus just loves you so much. He's always wanting to connect with you. He's just waiting for us to take up the invitation to chat with him, just as he waited for the woman at the well. And in fact, he intentionally seeks us out. He didn't have to go to Samaria, but he knew that he needed to go to Samaria. And he chose to meet the people there so he could tell them his truth. Doesn't have to be dramatic, as Mark's talking about. In fact, it's meant to be natural. It can be something that you're doing in your everyday or everywhere. And it's part of the everyday Christian walk. I love that God doesn't have one-sided conversations. Something that frustrates me is when people don't even acknowledge if they're hearing or listening or try to partake in the conversation. Jesus doesn't do that. It's not hearing from God. It's having a conversation with God. Jesus invited the woman to participate. She asked questions. He asked questions of her, and he always answered her as well. This is how we build the personal relationship with God. Reading the Bible, worshiping, praying, all of these things are incredible and a privilege, but none of them grow our relationship like having a conversation with him. God wants to talk to all people. There is no prejudice or judgment. He meets us just as we are. The woman at the well was drawing water on her own, probably in the heat of the day, because she was outcasted in her community, which was a whole town of rejected people. But still, God chose to connect with her because he saw her heart and not her sin. It can be really easy to fall into the trap of thinking what people look like, about what they're interested in, or what they do as being indicative of their faith. But the truth is, it isn't. Sometimes we can think that different cultures, circumstances, appearances, interests, abilities means we are less likely to know God and are therefore more likely to need God. It's not wrong to want to share the good news of Jesus. It's great. But it is wrong to see people for what they look like or how they speak or act, and assume that they need Jesus just because it's different to us and something we might not understand. Everyone needs Jesus. But for example, just because someone has tattoos doesn't mean they need Jesus first or they need Jesus more. Something I'm really passionate about is the day when people of all cultures, all backgrounds, all appearances, all abilities aren't defined so, and are completely integrated and ingrained within the body of Christ, that we no longer see people for those things or how they act, but purely for the heart that God has given them. All people are created and loved by God equally, and that's what I pray for in my heart, is to love people the way that Jesus does. That was a bit of a longer one because that's something I'm really passionate about. But moving on, and on the same vein, God only has life-giving words and gifts for us. He's so gracious, he just wants to bless us. He's the gift of living water, which restores our spirit and gives us eternal life. It's really easy to know if you're having a conversation with God, if you're ever trying to deliberate, is this God? Is this me? Is it, what is it? You know if you're conversing with God because the outcome of the conversation is hope. If it isn't, it isn't God. And that's it. God can also speak to us through other people, or he can speak to us directly, just like God spoke through Jesus to the woman at the well. He wants to partner with us to speak into other people because we were designed to be a body of Christ, to live in community. We need each other. We can also help confirm what God is saying, or can help other people interpret or understand what he's saying to others. Similarly, God speaks in lots of different ways. There's words of knowledge, visions, dreams, prayers, miracles, feelings. In this passage, God gave Jesus a word of knowledge, a fact that Jesus couldn't have known about the woman. Some people see things in front of them or in their mind, or hear words, or are drawn to Bible passages. Others have dreams or heat or tingling in their body. He can speak through creation or a deep feeling in your gut or your spirit. And he speaks to everyone differently because we're all unique. And that's, again, part of the personal relationship that we get to have with him. Sometimes it's mysterious, and sometimes we need to ask questions and need to accept that it's always going to be a mystery. Other times we might miss the meaning or need to ask for the message another way or forget, which would be me, and need to be told something a few times. This is all part of the relationship and the journey. The woman at the well didn't understand what God meant by living water. Jesus had to repeat himself a few times to clarify and explain. And even so, we're still discussing the meaning of it today. A conversation with God always results in heart transformation. It might be small or large, but no encounter with God leaves our hearts unchanged. It will leave us, however, as seen by the woman in the well who ran back to her town with a deep love for and desire to worship and glorify God, to live our lives in partnership with and to honor and bless him. And the byproduct of this transformation is joy, shared joy for all. Jesus responds to this woman's transformation with great joy. He says that he is restored. Jesus' spirit is so full despite having just spent time giving away. In fact, because he was partnering with the Spirit and doing as God asked of him, he was blessed, just like the woman. Our overflow has as much of an impact on us as it does on other people. And the impact that transformation had on the woman was incredible. Jesus partnered with a renowned sinner to overflow his truth of eternal life, and a whole village is saved. This makes me think of my late grandfather, or one of them, bless them all. He grew up in Housing Commission, and when he retired, he moved into an apartment alongside a group of Housing Commission apartments. He noticed early on that not all the bins were taken up every night for bin night. So he decided that next bin night, he would just take all the bins. So this man in his 80s took every single bin from this group of apartments out up onto the curb, which was a fair trek because it was a block of apartments. He did that every night for all the years that he lived there. Well, every bin night. This speaks to me of his heart, the way that he loves the people around him, knew their worth, and didn't see them for their circumstances. He was able to humbly serve others, and this demonstrated the goodness of God. So we're going to go into another breakout because I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. How do you hear from God? And just have a bit of a minute to just listen to God and have a think. What is the invitation for you this week when talking with God? I'll see you back soon. Thank you. I love hearing the different ways that people hear from God. Talking about in my group about hearing audibly, but also hearing through other people and confirmation, or you'll all understand this because you all know Zach well, wordplay. So God gives him a word that he gets to go and research and explore a bit more, which is really fun. But yeah, so if anyone wants to just a couple of words or a sentence and just tell me how you hear from God or what you feel like an invitation is for you when talking with God this week, feel free to share.
Yeah, Joe, mine is, my hearing from God is when I meditate on children's ministry and what are we going to talk about and spend time with the Lord, and it just comes to me. This is what we're doing. And coincidentally, today's children's words all about baptism. And we've talked about baptism today in the congregation. So I'm just really stoked that I'm marrying everything up and everything's in line. So what we're receiving, our kids are receiving as well.
That's so good, Susie. Thank you so much. That's awesome. You do a great job with the kids' ministry. I should come and sit in on the kids' group one time. I think I'd enjoy that.
Anytime.
Thank you. Appreciated. Anyone else?
People in our group spoke about spending time with God, being still, listening to him, talking to him. And there were different ways that people heard back from God. Some, one of our group felt like the words of the Bible jumped out at her. Certain things were revealed that way. And also she just felt things in her heart. There were those that had physical sensations of either coolness from the top to flowing through them, or heat, emotional responses, tears, dreams, getting God talking to them through dreams and visions, and just giving discernment and like an understanding of what's needed for particular people that they're trying to minister to. So yeah, lots of different ways. So it's amazing how God is unique and special to each individual.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you so much, Christina. That's an amazing summary. That's so good. Thank you. All right. Well, so now we've considered what we learn from Jesus, listening to God. But now we're going to turn to what is our part in talking with God. And how do we become more others focused? So it all starts with saying yes to God, saying yes to the conversation. Just like the Samaritan woman, she must have felt afraid or ashamed being not only from Samaria, but also being a woman of disrepute. Similarly, we are encouraged to never hide from Jesus, but to actually intentionally press into him and meet him where we're at, be vulnerable in conversation, because talking with God is safe. We can talk to him about anything and everything, anytime and anywhere. Then we need to listen to God speak the truth and allow him to change our hearts. Jesus didn't spend time chastising the woman. Instead, he focused on her future and the life available to her through the Spirit. Next, we get to accept his gifts for us, the least of which is living water and eternal life. Just as the woman at the well declared she never wanted to be thirsty again. The thing about living water and the Spirit of God, that is where we find true rest and restoration. For me at the moment, I spend a fair bit of time watching TV while I'm feeding Bear. So my rest time often looks like TV time or listening to music or just downtime with my family. And there's a place for all of these, but it doesn't come anywhere near the release or the peace I feel when I spend time with God. True rest, his living water, is only found in him. And then once we are full, we get to overflow with the hope and the love of Jesus, so that we can walk in joy, a contagious joy that is felt and experienced by the people around us. This isn't to exclude terrible and very real life circumstances, but how we allow them to affect us and when we turn to God when they happen. But we need to be full first, because walking in hope, love, and joy is supernatural. And learning to converse with God for ourselves help us learn to converse with God about others. And lastly, probably the trickiest part is obeying, to surrender to the will of God, to go where we feel called and to say or do what we feel we're meant to. And this takes courage, just like the woman at the well, who went back to her hometown and shared the good news of Jesus, despite knowing that it would be hard for people to listen to her with her reputation. But they listened, they trusted her so much that they went then and pursued Jesus and saw for themselves that God is good. It's no coincidence that once Jesus was confident in who he was, that his eyes turned to others and he started to overflow into the community around him. At the wedding, he acknowledged it wasn't his time, but couldn't help but bless others because of who he had become. The question for us then is, who are we becoming? Are we secure in our identity as children of God? And are we drawing closer to him as our Father, friend, and first love? We'll know when we catch his heart because we'll start to care what he cares about. We'll think the way he thinks and act the way he acts. What we say and do will result in Holy Spirit fruit. But can we ever fully arrive? No. And that's the good news, because that would mean a relationship with God would be obsolete. And we don't want that. Instead, we are invited on a lifelong journey where we partner with Jesus to love others as he does. And we get to be blessed as we do it. It's win-win. So I wanted to share one last story. I grew up in the Salvation Army Church. My family are all soldiers, which essentially is a bit similar to being partners within that church. When you become a soldier, you get given a uniform to wear, which is super helpful because it means people out in the community can identify who you are or where you're from and ask for help as needed, because the Salvos do incredible work with people from abuse situations, with addiction, homelessness, coming out of prison, and so much more. However, my family felt prompted not to wear their uniforms to regular church because every week there would be people in the service who walked in off the streets or who were integrating back into everyday life. So my family decided to wear casual clothes so that people who were new to the church wouldn't feel alone. They would feel that they belonged and that they weren't the only ones. Sometimes it's really tempting to hide who you are or feel the need to minimize yourself to fit in. But the truth is that God wants to partner with you exactly as you are, because you bring something unique to the body of Christ that we need, that I need. He made you original and you were born to stand out. Again, something as simple as trusting God for the right time to wear a uniform can make a difference for other people encountering God. So for our last breakout, I'd like us to practice chatting with God. We'll take a minute and ask God to tell us something that he wants to say to someone else in the breakout. Couple of things to remember. God only speaks words of life to bless and love us, fill us with hope and joy. And we're all still on a listening journey, so it's okay to get it wrong. I get it wrong all the time, but trust what you hear initially and ask God questions if you need clarification. I often find it's not what I hear that's wrong, but sometimes if I don't give it at the right time, or if I jump to the interpretation rather than talking to God about it first. So we just give you permission to reject a word if it doesn't sound or sit right with you, but we also give you permission to partner with God to change someone's heart and life. So while we think now, before we go into our breakout, so just take that time to think and chat with God now. And while we do that, I want to honor Brian and Tina. Brian is our anointed prophet in the church, which means he partners with God to equip us in talking with him, amongst many, 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 many other things. He's an incredible man of humility who anoints and raises up others, has blessed me and my family tremendously. If you have any questions about talking with God, feel free to chat to me or anyone on leadership, but this is really Brian's strongest gifting and his anointing, his sweet spot. So I encourage you to also chat to him. Brian is training up Tina at the moment as a prophet too, and she is just a woman of incredible courage and faith, and she lives a life that's all about talking with God, and she doesn't move unless he tells her to. So I've just invited them both to give a word each if they feel led to this morning. And after that, we'll head into our breakouts where we'll get to encourage and give prophetic words over each other. And then Chris will pray with us to finish. Thank you so much for listening. This week, I'll be praying for you to encounter God in powerful conversations. So enjoy that. Thank you, Brian, Tina.
Yeah, thanks, Jo. For Jesus' true church to rise up in Australia, we, his kingdom family, need to pursue his love and get to know Jesus in a more intimate way. The Holy Spirit has been speaking into my heart about how we hear and know what the Lord is speaking to our hearts. The Lord speaks spirit to spirit, speaking straight into our hearts. Jesus said sometimes we try too hard to hear what he is speaking and we end up being confused. Come from a place of rest. So what does that mean? To put it into the physical realm, the ones that love us speak to us any time or any place of their choosing. Father God said that good fathers speak life and wisdom into their children from a place of love. Jesus wants to speak into all areas of our lives from a place of love. So give him permission to do that. Jesus proclaimed that his sheep hear his voice. So we are to expect the Spirit to speak into our hearts about all parts of our life, in the physical and in the spiritual realm. I believe that we are to be deliberate in pursuing to be closer and becoming more like Jesus. Put time aside to grow closer to Jesus. For example, listen to worship or podcasts on your way to work. Start your day by dedicating it to Jesus and to his kingdom. We at Overflow are very blessed to have the School of Revival as part of our growing closer to Jesus and his kingdom. This is a great place to start in growing your walk with Jesus. So Jesus, thank you for that. And if we agree with that, we say, let it be, Jesus, let it be. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brian. That's so good. It's so relevant. Tina, did you want to share anything?
Yeah, mine's a little bit more riskier than giving a word to everybody, because if my person's not here, then it makes a little bit awkward, but that's okay. So I don't know a lot of people in the church, which makes this even more interesting since we've come back, and I don't know the names of everybody still. So I don't even know if there is a Justine in the church, or if there is anybody that knows a Justine. So I'll just have a minute to see if anybody will speak up.
I love that you're taking a risk, Tina. It's so, so exciting. Yeah, so if anyone knows a Justine, or is there a Justine here or in your family, feel free to raise your hand or just say hey.
Yeah, I have a Justine in my family.
Yep. Lovely. Thanks, Stephen. Is it Stephen? That's what your name tag says. Is it Stephen?
Yeah, that's yes. It.
Hi, Stephen. Nice to meet you. Well, the word I have is I believe that God says that she is his joy and his delight, and that he's pleased with her. He said that soon there'll come a time when she'll doubt it, but he wants her to hold tight to these words because they're true. So that might be something that I can send to you, or if you want to write a note of that down and give those words to her, because she might need to hold on to it. And I can tell you from experience that when you don't write it down, you forget it. And then the season comes and the doubt comes and you wish you'd remembered those words. So, yeah, thank you. Thanks for having the courage to speak up.
Thanks, Tina. That's awesome. And we also had Christina pop up in the chat, say that she had a friend called Justina as well. So if that does apply to any of you, what I would encourage you to do is to just take that word, as Tina said, feel free to contact her so you can have it in writing, and just have a chat with God about whether you feel like that's right for that person, and then you can hand that on as well. So take that word as an invitation for you to chat to God about that too. Thank Absolutely. You, Tina.
There's also, I also wanted to say that sometimes when a prophetic word's given out, just because your name's not attached to it doesn't mean it's not for you. So sometimes if a prophetic word is given and you get a burning sense in your chest, or this, you have a real sense that that's for you, then believe that that's actually for you as well. So sometimes it's not about the names, because Holy Spirit's above all of that, and he will communicate to you whether he says that's for you or not.
Amazing. That's so good, Tina. Thank you.
I'm actually going to pray for us now and finish. And then when you're in your breakout rooms, you can take whatever time you need to just share that word with people. So, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you know the deep things of our hearts, and that you're inviting us into conversation so that we can be confident in our relationship with you, and then overflow that in our conversations and love for others. So across your church family this week, Father, I ask that we'll be boldly hearing from you for ourselves, and boldly sharing your goodness, your love, your grace with those that you put in our paths. Just give us ears to hear and eyes to see, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, Joe. You did a great job. We love what you've shared with us. And I'm excited, because I think every group is going to be carrying words of God for encouragement and life for the group members. So enjoy.